Too soon, pardon? All right, this morning I'm going to be speaking on the kingdom of God. As you know, or if you don't know, you'll discover now, we're going to do a series of teaching on the kingdom of God. We think it's important at this time that we really grasp something about the truth of the kingdom of God. And we met as leaders and talked about it, and we decided that I would do an introduction on the kingdom of God. Because I think a lot of people have heard this phrase, the kingdom of God, and haven't got a clue what it means. If you've been around in the church a little while, you hear this phrase, kingdom of God, bandied about. For example, people talk about giving offerings for the extension of the kingdom of God. And you kind of think, what on earth does that mean? Or we used to pray for missionaries who'd gone to serve the kingdom of God. And you thought, what on earth? Where have they gone? You know, where did they get the plane to? Where's this kingdom of God located? We know where the kingdom of England is, and this kingdom and that kingdom, but the kingdom of God, where's that? And there's been that kind of response. And then people talk about the kingdom of God as some sort of future event, and you think about heaven. And this place you're going to go, and the kingdom of God is kind of in the far distant future. But for many of us, it was a fairly recent discovery. I mean, the last 10 or 15 years, which is fairly recent for some of us. I realize for some of you that seems like a lifetime, but for some of us who are a little older and grayer, we've been in the church a few years and heard all these phrases, but never understood the reality of the kingdom of God in the present. That the kingdom of God was not some future thing, it wasn't some kind of mystical thing, but there was a real kingdom that we were part of, and that God had brought us into as the result of us coming into a relationship with Christ. And I want to just give you a very basic, simple outline of the kingdom of God this morning. And so what I'm talking about this morning is very simply, what is the kingdom of God? And I want to work through, I've even got some overheads and whatever on this whole subject. So I'm going to start in teaching mode, and we'll see how we get on. We're doing all right? We're nearly in there. Oh, yes, we're wonky. Yeah, the kingdom of God is not wonky, but the overhead is. Yeah. That looks good. Well done, Phil. We're proud of you. If you ever need a job, yeah. We're nearly... Look at that. Wonderful. They are. Look, we've made it. All right, you thought that was going to go when you moved, didn't you? Yeah. So we're going to ask the question, or we're going to answer the question, what is the kingdom of God? And we're going to just work through some headings. If you're taking some notes, I think that will help you. But it really is important that we understand the whole issue of a kingdom. Now, there is a basic requirement in a kingdom. To be a kingdom, there is a basic necessity. That is, you've got to have a king. In fact, you can't have a kingdom unless you've got a king. Or a queen, of course. And so we are called, our country is called, the United Kingdom. We're called a kingdom because we've got
a queen.
A monarch. That's good. Yeah, thank you. Helping me out there. Yeah. And so to have a kingdom, you must have a monarch, you must have a ruler. Now, that's a little bit confusing for us in England, because although we've got a monarch, they do not rule, they do not reign. Even though we sing, long may she reign over us and whatever in the national anthem, the queen in our country, or if we have a king next... they do not actually rule over us, because we are part of what is known as a constitutional monarchy. You know that, don't you? Which means that the king or the queen, the monarch, are just a figurehead. The real power is not in the hands of the monarch. In Bible days, when of course the Bible was written and the phrase the kingdom of God began to appear in literature, in those days they understood kingdom in terms of a sphere of rule or authority. When a king or a queen ruled, it meant they had absolute authority, and whatever they said went. They ruled, they reigned. Now, because of Oliver Cromwell in the 16th century and all that stuff, our history as a nation, we became a constitutional monarchy, a democracy, where the people voted in a government. And so actually, rather than the Queen ruling, actually it's John Major who is more of a ruler than the Queen. Because he has the power, actually, to make and decide what is going to happen in the nation, and then he takes it through Parliament, and the Queen just puts a signature on it, which is what it's all about, this constitutional monarchy business. But we don't actually have a living example of what a kingdom truly is, in a biblical sense, or even in a real sense, in the world today. But of course, in days gone by, when a king ruled, he ruled, or a queen ruled, they ruled over a kingdom. They were absolute rulers. They were the sovereign, they were the ruler, and they reigned. What they said went. And so when we're talking about the kingdom of God, we're talking about it in that sense. We're talking about a kingdom that has a king. And so the first thing I want to say this morning is the kingdom is where the king or the queen reigns. But when we're talking about the kingdom of God, we're talking about the kingdom over which God reigns. God rules. There's this little saying appears on walls here, so-and-so rules, okay. Well, the kingdom of God, it's Jesus rules, okay? He is the ruler. The kingdom is where the king reigns. In other words, the kingdom, number one, is where the government of God is exercised, all right, where the rule of God is exercised. Now that's really important for us to understand. When we're talking about the kingdom of God, we're talking about placing our lives, if we say we're in the kingdom of God, we're talking about placing our lives under the authority of the king. That's what we mean when we say we are part of the kingdom of God. When we say we've given our lives to Christ, and I'll show you this a little bit later on, the whole issue of salvation is that through coming to Christ, we came into the kingdom of God. So Jesus says, except a man be born again, in John chapter 3, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He says, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, it's through coming into a relationship with God through Christ, and we'll pick this up in a little while, that we come into the kingdom of God. That means that we come under the rule of Christ. Now that is extremely important. Because there's such a wishy-washy view of what it means to be a Christian, or what it means to allow Jesus to take away your sin. There's such a poor understanding of what it means. Jesus laid it right on the line when he said, hey, you need to come into the kingdom of God. And the way you come into the kingdom of God is by coming into a relationship with me. And when you come into a relationship with me, what you're doing is this. You're putting your lives under my rule. Because the kingdom is where the government of God is exercised in our lives. So that's extremely important for us to appreciate. And it's very weakly taught and understood. But wherever you look in the scriptures, you'll find that Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. And when he spoke about the gospel being preached, he spoke about the good news being the good news of the kingdom of God. Before Jesus went away in Acts chapter 1, he spoke to his disciples and he says for 40 days he taught them concerning the kingdom of God. In other words, what he was teaching them was this, what it means to bring your lives under the rule of the government of God. And of course, that's what salvation really is. It's bringing our lives under God's order and into God's order and saying, King Jesus, you rule now in my life. When we made a response to God and understood that God was real and that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he was the only one who could take away our sin, part of that package was we were also saying we want to allow you, or we want to give you our lives and allow your rule to come in our lives. Your government. What you want. Because to enter a kingdom, you come under the rule and the sphere of that kingdom. When I come to England, I come under the rule, the law of that kingdom. Okay? So we drive on the left-hand side of the road. Yes, I do, yeah. Now, when I go to France, I come under the rule of the kingdom of France. And the rule in the kingdom of France is that you drive on the right-hand side of the road. So when I come into that kingdom, I drive on that side of the road. When I come under the rule of the kingdom of Jamaica, where I've just been back, just come from, we drive again. Well, they drive any side of the road there, but they're supposed to drive on the left-hand side of the road. And when I go to another country, I come under the government of that kingdom, the government, the rule of that nation. So there's laws and rules in different nations. I don't go with my understanding of our laws and rules and nations. So when I go to Jamaica, I don't say, well, I'm British, I don't have to come under the rule of your kingdom. I'd end up in jail. I mean, a lot of Britons try that. They think they can, you know, go and whatever in every other kingdom. But when we go to a different nation, a different kingdom, we come under the rule of that kingdom, of that nation. That's obvious. Well, it's no different with the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God means that when we come into the kingdom of God, when we commit our lives to Christ, when we understand our need of salvation and we make a response to the gospel of Jesus, we're actually saying, we're actually entering the kingdom of God. Jesus said, you're born again, and by being born again, you see the kingdom of God and you enter the kingdom of God. We bring our lives under the rule, under the government of God. So we live how God wants us to live. That's what it means to come into his kingdom. And the rules and laws and principles of the kingdom of God are laid down in the manifesto of the kingdom, which is the Bible. And so here we have an understanding of what it means to be in the kingdom of God. It's the place where the government of God is exercised. And so when we come into the kingdom of God, we understand that these are the laws, the rules of the kingdom. And so we read here, love your enemies. We read here certain things about the kind of life that we're going to live. We read that God expects his subjects to live clean, holy, pure lives. And so we look to bring our lives into line with his rule because we're in his kingdom. And if we want to know the benefits and blessings of being in the kingdom, we keep the rules of the kingdom. So in England, there are certain rules, laws, that we live by. And the reason we live by those rules, the government of this nation, is because if we don't, we might end up in prison. Or we might be punished or disciplined. And it would not be a happy thing to live in our nation if we live in opposition to the rules and laws of the kingdom. So we don't drive on the right-hand side of the road. We don't drive too fast. Martin. We live by the rules, the laws of the kingdom, because we want to live peaceful, happy lives. So many believers are living out of line with the government of God and the rules of the kingdom, and they wonder why they've got no joy and no real life and no release and no real peace. It's because they're not living according to the government of God. And it's part of the package of coming into the kingdom of God, of being part of the kingdom of God, that if you want to enjoy the benefits of the kingdom of God, you've got to live under the attitudes, the law, the disposition of the king. And I think he knows what he's doing. We'll come back to that in a moment. Let me say something else about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not a place, but a rule. Let me just explain what I mean by that. Jesus said in Luke 17, verse 21, he said, the kingdom of God is within you, or the kingdom of God is among you. What Jesus was saying was this. He's saying, the kingdom of God is not a place, but a rule. The word that's used, the Greek word that's used for kingdom, is a word basileia, and it means It means a sphere of authority and doesn't refer to a place. So it's not talking about a location. There's not a location where the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is to do with rule and authority that's of that rule that's exercised. That is really important for us to understand. So it's not to do with territory, but to do with a sphere of influence. So when Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you or among you, what he was saying was this: whenever there is an expression of anything that would be associated with the government or rule of God, the kingdom of God appears. It's expressed. Now what is the atmosphere and sphere of the kingdom of God? The atmosphere and sphere of the kingdom of God is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, healing, forgiveness. And wherever there is an expression of any one of those characteristics, we see evidence of the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is not to do with a place. We don't say, well, this is the kingdom of God, this area here, this plot of land is the kingdom of God. Like we say, this plot of land where we're standing this morning is the kingdom of, or the United Kingdom, or is England, or whatever. When we talk about the kingdom of God, we're saying wherever the government of God is expressed or exercised, there is the kingdom of God. So whenever a healing place takes place, whenever someone is blessed, whenever someone is helped and ministered to, whenever someone is forgiven, the kingdom of God is expressed. That's why Jesus said, when he appeared on the scene in Luke chapter 4 verse 17, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has arrived. The kingdom of God has come." In other words, Jesus was saying, "Hey, look, I'm bringing with me the kingdom of God." And so he brought the kingdom of God. And whenever and wherever Jesus went, he blessed people, ministered to people, healed people, set people free from demons, forgave people, taught people how to love and express love and kindness and forgiveness. And what Jesus was saying, hey, was look, I am expressing, I am releasing the kingdom of God, the attitudes of the kingdom of God, the characteristics of the kingdom of God, the principles of the kingdom of God, the power of the kingdom of God. All of those things were released through Jesus. So he said, hey, the kingdom of God is among you. It's within. And then he said, the kingdom of God is within you. In other words, when we come to Christ and commit our, he was talking to his disciples, he was saying, hey, the kingdom of God arrives within us, and then we are to express and exercise the kingdom of God. So this morning, we experienced something of the presence of God as we began to worship. It was a bit tough early on. I thought, oh dear. But we broke through and we got somewhere and we experienced something of the presence of God. The kingdom of God came among us. The rule of God was exercised among us. We heard something of God's heart. We heard something of God's purpose. The kingdom of God was expressed among us here this morning. So we could say the kingdom of God was among us. Or the kingdom of God was within us. So whenever Jesus ever did anything, he was expressing the kingdom of God. Whenever he healed, whenever he blessed, whenever he ministered to anybody anywhere, there was an expression of the kingdom of God. That is really important for us to understand. And of course, the other thing that is essential for us to understand is the fact that there are only two kingdoms. Actually, when we're talking in a spiritual dynamic. And that is that there is only the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. There's the kingdom of light, which is the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of darkness, which is under the dominion and the authority of Satan himself, the devil. So it's important we understand the nature of this kingdom, that it's a supernatural, spiritual kingdom. Jesus, when he was challenged by Pilate in John 18:36, he was challenged by Pilate, and Pilate said to him, well, if you're a king, where's your kingdom? Jesus used these words. He says, my kingdom is not of this world. The government of God, you see, doesn't have a physical sphere in this earth. It doesn't have a place, a territory. It doesn't have a plot of land. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. The government of God is a supernatural kingdom. John 18:36, 1 Corinthians 15 verse 50, if you look at those verses, it says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, it's not a kingdom that natural means, human means, can take hold of and enter into. That's one of the problems that's happened and one of the causes of the terrible problems in places like Northern Ireland, which are blamed on the gospel and whatever. It's because they tried to make people, impose upon people, flesh and blood, kingdom of God. You can't do it. It's a supernatural, spiritual kingdom. Flesh and blood cannot inherit. You can't impose the kingdom of God on people. That's why Jesus says the only way to see and enter the kingdom of God is by a spiritual means. He says you must have a spiritual birth. You see, this really intelligent guy called Nicodemus, really intelligent rich guy called Nicodemus, came to Jesus and asked Jesus a question, because he wanted to know how God could become real to him. Because although he was very religious and very intelligent and very rich, he didn't really know God. He knew the whole parts of the Old Testament and could quote them, but he hadn't really come into an encounter with God. He didn't know that he was in the kingdom of God, and he didn't know the rule of God in his life. And this really rich, religious, intelligent man, Nicodemus, came to Jesus. We read about it in John chapter 3. And he said to Jesus, really, his question was, how can God become real to me? Because even though I know all about him and I've been to church and served him for years and years and years, I've never actually come into a real experience of God in my life. And Jesus said, hey, you need to enter the kingdom of God. And this is how you do it. You must be born again. And so this really intelligent, rich, religious man couldn't understand that. He said, what are you talking about, being born again? Because he was an intelligent man, he didn't understand it, so he asked the question. He said, how can I be born again? Do I have to become a baby again? And that was kind of like blowing his mind. He thought, how can I go back to the womb? And he says, is that what you mean? Jesus said, no. He said, no, you need another kind of birth. He said, you need, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, if you want to see the kingdom of God, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, you must be born of water and of the Spirit. He says to him, you must have not only a natural birth that everybody has, but you need to have a spiritual birth. Water speaking of natural birth. Because we're born, all of us, our mother's waters broke and we were born of water. Natural birth. Said, but you need more than that if you want to enter the kingdom of God. You do need to be born naturally, and everybody here was born naturally, I think, looking at you. There's no Martians here, are there? Although looking at one or two of you, I'm not so sure. No, I don't mean it. No aliens among us? No, we've all had a natural birth. Jesus said if you want to enter the kingdom of God, you've got to have a natural birth, you've got to be born of water, and you've got to be born spiritually too. You've got to have a spiritual birth. You've got to have an encounter with God where you are born again by the Holy Spirit, where God comes into your life. Then, he says, you enter the kingdom of God. The only way in is by a supernatural birth. It's the only way into the kingdom of God. So the question this morning is, have you had a supernatural birth? Have you entered the kingdom of God by means of spiritual birth? Jesus said you've got to have a spiritual encounter with God. There's only one way in, he said. And Jesus told us the essential components, those elements that are essential for us to experience this born again word that we're talking about right now. And there are four elements in that. Number one is new birth. We've just heard about it. We have to be born again. And we're born again on the basis of repentance. That's an old-fashioned Bible word. But Jesus, in Matthew 4:17 and in Mark 1, verse 15, when he began his ministry, he said these words, and these are the words of Jesus. He says, repent, for the kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of God has re-entered the world. Jesus came bringing with him the message that the kingdom of God was re-entering the world. So Jesus said, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, you've got to repent. In other words, you've got to have a change of direction. That word of repent is misunderstood. It sounds like an old-fashioned kind of word, and it sums up all kinds of things in our minds. But the word repent actually means something very, very simple. It means to have a change of mind which leads to a change of direction. The word repent means, listen carefully, it's really important, to have a change of mind which leads to a change of direction. In other words, having been challenged by the fact that we're not in the kingdom of God, that we haven't had a personal encounter with God through the Lord Jesus, we decide to repent. We have a change of mind and we say, this is true, and I've ignored this truth, I've not lived by this truth, I've not been under the government and rule of God in my life, I've been doing my own thing, but I'm going to have a change of mind which is going to result in a change of direction. So instead of living this way and going this way, I'm going to have a change of mind that is going to result in an about turn, and instead of going this way, I'm going to go that way. Instead of living for myself and how I like and doing what I please, I'm going to start living how God wants me to live. I'm going to come under His government. I'm going to do the things He wants me to do. That's what to repent means. It's not just saying sorry. That's part of it, but a very small part of it. Because if I say sorry and go back and do the same thing again and again and again, I sometimes leave my socks on the floor in the bedroom. My wife says, you've left your socks on the floor. And again, there's a basket over there. Will you please put your socks in the basket? I say, oh, I'm sorry. And the next day, I better make out I change my socks every day. The next day, there's my socks on the floor. I nearly said the next week. There's my socks on the floor again. She says, you've done it again. I say, oh, I'm sorry. Well, I haven't really repented. Because repentance means to have a change of mind about something which leads to a change of direction. It's more than saying sorry. And Jesus said, hey, the way into the kingdom of God is to have a change of mind which leads to a change of direction. That's true repentance. Which means I used to do this and I used to live like this and I used to do these things, but they're not according to the attitudes and the way I should live in the kingdom of God. So I'm going to have not just a change of mind about these things, but I'm going to have a change of direction that leads to different kind of behavior. It's all to do with bringing our lives under the rule of the kingdom of God. Not only is it on the basis of repentance, but also the basis of faith. In Mark 1, verse 15, Jesus said, repent and believe. He came with a message, repent and believe, for the kingdom of God has arrived or come near. Repent and believe. Believe what? Yeah, okay, I understand. Repent. Change of mind that leads to a change of direction. But what does it mean to believe? Believe in what? What am I believing? What am I putting my trust in? Well, according to the Bible and the revelation of the Gospels, you put your faith and your confidence in the fact that you know you can't change yourself. Because we're not talking about New Year's resolutions. We're not talking about that kind of change of mind that leads to a change of direction. I don't know if you do those things or used to do those things or still doing them, but you know they don't work. And the word earlier on, the prophetic word, was, hey, you can't do this yourself. Because we know the weakness of ourselves. We know the weakness of our humanity. We know that we try so hard to be good. We know that the number of times that we have decided that we are not going to do that anymore, or we're going to overcome this weakness, or we're going to change, or we're going to diet, or we're going to exercise, or we're not going to drink coffee anymore, and all those things. And we know the next day, or the next week, that we mess it up. Well, some of us do anyway. Because we know in our own strength and by our own efforts, we're very weak. And even if we have the most incredible willpower, you all know, we all know what I'm talking about. Because it's true for all of us. So we need help outside of ourselves. That's why Jesus came anyway. That's why He had to come. Because God saw we couldn't do it ourselves. Because what happened was we messed the whole thing up. And Jesus had to come, and Jesus had to say those words about the kingdom of God arriving, because there was another kingdom in place that everybody's life was under the domination of, and that was the kingdom of darkness. So Jesus comes and saying, hey, it's possible for you now to break out of that. You don't have to stay where you are. You don't have to stay locked up in bondage in this kingdom of darkness. Your life doesn't have to stay in the state it's in. You don't have to remain where you are. You don't have to carry all that guilt. You don't have to carry all that rubbish. You don't have to live in that kind of weakness within any longer. The kingdom of God has come, and if you repent and believe, believe what? Believe in me, Jesus said. Understand that I have come to break the power of the kingdom of darkness, to break the hold of the kingdom of darkness in your lives, to come and break the hold of all that stuff in your life that you can't deal with yourself, to break the hold of all those habits that you can't break, to change your life so that by faith in me, because I've done it and I can do it, and I'm going to break the power of the kingdom of darkness, you have the capacity and the ability to live in the way that I want you to live. To live under my rule and under my government. And so Jesus took on the kingdom of darkness, and there was a clash of the kingdom of God with the kingdom of darkness, and Jesus won. That's what we've been celebrating this morning. Because Jesus died, but he didn't stay dead. He rose again from the dead as a sign that he had broken the power of the kingdom of darkness, so that mankind no longer has to live under the rule of the kingdom of darkness. He broke the hold of death and the power of sin by his death and resurrection, so that we, by putting our faith in Jesus, can be released from the kingdom of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of God. That's incredibly exciting. And in Colossians 1 verse 13 and 14, it tells us that we've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's own Son. That's an incredibly exciting thing. Now, we hear a lot about being transferred in football. You know, Harry Redknapp, the West Ham manager, I think he'd be a better estate agent than a football manager, the buying and selling he does, but that's neither here nor there. Players are always being transferred from one team to another. So, Gary Lineker's been transferred from Barcelona to Tottenham, or so-and-so, Paul Gascoigne's been transferred from this team to that team. And they're transferred from one team to another. And that's the word that Paul uses to describe what's happened to us. We've been transferred from one team to another team. Only it's described as one kingdom to another kingdom. That when we come to Christ, when we are born again, when we repent and believe in the work of Jesus on our behalf on the cross, we are transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. A transfer takes place. And we're no longer under the rule and the government of the prince of darkness, Satan. We are under the rule and the government of God. A change has taken place. And that's extremely important for us to understand. It is a significant thing that has happened. In fact, it's the most incredible thing you could possibly imagine has happened to you. And the transfer fee was paid. And the transfer fee was Jesus dying on the cross for you. Paying the price that you should have paid for all the rottenness and stuff and muck and junk that's in our lives. Jesus paid that price by dying for us so that we could enter the kingdom of God. Because the whole history of man is actually rooted in this incredible truth about the kingdoms. See, when man disobeyed God, when man turned his back upon God, he put himself under the rule and authority of the kingdom of darkness. And Satan, the Bible says, became the prince of the power of the air. And the whole world lay in the hands of Satan. And Ephesians 2 talks about him ruling and influencing men and women who are outside of Christ. And even though many people are not aware of it and don't realize it, their lives actually are under the dominion of the kingdom of darkness. But when they come to Christ and have an encounter with God and meet God and repent and believe and come under the government of God, they're transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. I think it's really important for every one of us to understand that about the kingdom of God. And so for us this morning, the kingdom of God is when the rule of God is expressed in our lives. And I've got loads of things I could say this morning, but somehow I think that is really the important thing that we need to know. And for me, the amazing thing for us as individuals this morning is that we have the wonderful privilege here of deciding to be part of the kingdom of God. That if we haven't had a personal encounter with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we can enter the kingdom of God through repentance and faith. And if our lives are under the kingdom of darkness and we're under the rule, we know that by the mess that our lives are in, we can make the decision to say, oh God, come into my life. I want to come under your government and your rule, and I want to enter the kingdom of God. And the amazing thing to me is that that God has opened the door for mankind to enter the kingdom. Even though we've rejected him, turned our back on him, and done our own thing, he says, you can come under my rule and you can become a part of my kingdom. You see, the kingdom of God is where the rule of God is expressed. Now we have to look at this and make some decisions. We have to weigh it up. We have to say, is it worth it? You have to say, what are the benefits? Some people, you see, get to the point where the benefits of living in the Kingdom of England are not considered as good as the prospects of living in the Kingdom of Australia. And so people emigrate. And they transfer from the Kingdom of England to the Kingdom of Australia because they think that it's wonderful in Australia. It is pretty good there. Something like 1 million people from the Kingdom of India felt that the benefits of living in the Kingdom of England were better, and so they emigrated to England and came under the into the Kingdom of England. I've just been back from Jamaica, and there's a number of people that came over from Jamaica during the 50s and 60s, West Indian people, who came to England because they thought the benefits of being in the Kingdom of England were better than the benefits of the Kingdom of Jamaica. But I also met some people who came over there and thought that, and they've gone back there. Because the benefits of being in the Kingdom of England, they didn't realise, included freezing cold winters instead of winters in the 70s and 80s. And so they weighed up the situation and said, hey, I'd rather be back in the Kingdom of Jamaica. I might not have so much money, but at least I don't have to pay these massive heating bills. And so people have done that and made decisions to move from one kingdom to another. And when you move to another kingdom, you come under the rules of that kingdom. And this morning, it's really important that we understand that that is a natural picture of what happens in the spiritual kingdom. There are two kingdoms. And we make the choice about which kingdom we are going to live in. And so the first situation this morning that's really important is that every one of us comes to a place where we make a decision to go for the kingdom, where we're going to be fulfilled, satisfied, and we're going to find what we need. Now, what's the benefits of living in the kingdom of God? Well, the benefits of living in the kingdom of God are too numerous for me to elucidate this morning, all of them anyway. But the first one is to know the presence and love of God, which is the most incredible blessing. When we're talking about joy this morning, in the midst of every trial and difficulty, that's the first blessing of being in the kingdom of God. Restored relationship with God. There's nothing like it in all the earth. To know God. To come under the rule of a king who loves me, cares about me, and only wants my best. That sounds like a reasonable thing to respond to. To know that King Jesus is totally committed to me to such a point that he never wants to hurt me. He might allow me to go through difficult to come into a kingdom that includes as one of the blessings eternal life. That sounds reasonable too. That this kingdom of God, it says, is an everlasting kingdom. That means it goes on forever and ever. Woo! And though I might die naturally, when I come into the kingdom of God, I am given eternal life. I'm going to live forever. And even my body, which is going into the grave, and we haven't got time to go into this morning, it tells me that it's going to be restored and reconstituted as a spiritual body, and I'm going to live forever in eternity because I'm in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is an everlasting kingdom which will never end. Now that sounds like something very positive to me. This is what the book tells me, the rules, the manifesto of the kingdom tells me about being in the kingdom. Tells me that the attitudes of this kingdom are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness. Tells me that I might have some tough times. Tells me that I might have some difficult days, but such is life. But that in this kingdom, the King is always available to help me. And that he will never fail me, that he will never let me down, and he will never let me go. Sounds pretty good to me. That he only wants my best. And then the other kingdom, there's a picture given me of the other kingdom as well. And the other kingdom's presented to me as a kingdom where the king wants to destroy me. He wants to pretend to give me everything I want. He wants to tell me that I can do what I like and live how I like. But actually what he wants to do is get me in his clutches and destroy me. That he wants to tell me, yeah, live how you like, do how you like, abuse your body, abuse everything, do what you please. And I end up destroyed. So have a drink, it's good fun and whatever. And he gets me drinking. Have another one, till I become an alcoholic. And then he's got me and he destroys me and he laughs at me and I'm on the rubbish heap. That's what he's after doing. He's after keeping me out of the kingdom of God because he knows that if I enter the kingdom of God, he's lost me and he knows there's a blessing for me, and this guy just wants to destroy me. The results of staying in the kingdom of darkness is also eternal death, which is a pretty serious thing, eternal separation from God. So you have to weigh up what you're going to do. And which kingdom you're going to be a part of. That's why when I was quite young, I said, hey, I had a change of mind, which led to a change of direction, which decided I was going to come under the government of God. And so firstly, first application of this truth of the kingdom of God is that we make sure we're in it. Because when you compare the kingdom of God with the kingdom of darkness, there's no challenge. But the second thing is for believers. Many of you Christians here, perhaps all of you, have already entered the kingdom of God. You've been born again. And if you want to get the best from the kingdom of God, then you've got to come under the rule of the kingdom of God. That's why we're doing all this teaching on the kingdom of God. Because we're talking about what the attitudes of the kingdom are. We're talking about what it means to live in the kingdom of God. Live out the kingdom of God. To allow the rule of King Jesus in our lives. Because there's many believers who entered the kingdom of God, but they're not living under the rules of the king. They're not living according to the attitudes and word and manifesto of the king. And when you don't live according to the government of the king, then you don't enjoy the blessings of being in that kingdom. Just as in our nation, if you live outside of the rules of the kingdom, you suffer the consequences. And you get fined for not living according to the rules of the kingdom. And if you keep on breaking the law and living outside of the rules of the government of this kingdom, this natural kingdom, eventually you'll end up in prison. And you will not be a happy bunny. And you'll find yourself in bondage. And you won't find yourself released and fulfilled and happy. And so it is in the kingdom of God. We have many believers, many people who have entered the kingdom of God through spiritual birth, but have never put their lives under the rule of the government of God and don't live under the government of God, and they suffer the consequences. Because if you want to enjoy the benefits of the kingdom, you've got to live under the rule of the king. Now here's the most amazing thing. God is not some tyrant. Jesus isn't some tyrant, and unfortunately he's been presented as so, who says, don't do this and don't do that, and if you do this, and a list of rules and regulations. That's not what his kingdom's like at all. This king knows what's best for you. And he knows how you will be truly happy and fulfilled. And so he lays down orders and attitudes and rules and principles that will protect you and enable you to live a totally satisfying, fulfilled life if you will live according to the laws and rules of the government of God. And so for us this morning, we haven't got very far. I've got a whole heap of stuff that we wanted to do, but it was to be a teaching thing. I just felt this morning it's really important for those of us who are here that we understand what this is all about. And so as we enjoy the teaching, I trust we enjoy the teaching on these issues over the next few weeks, I trust that this whole understanding of kingdom, that it's for us to bring our lives under the rule of the kingdom, will affect and impact our lives. And if this morning you've just been listening and you're just aware that your life is not under the rule of the kingdom of God, that you've never actually had an encounter with God and never repented and believed and put your trust in Christ and said, my life's coming under the rule of the kingdom of God, we'd love to pray with you and talk with you. I don't want to embarrass you, expose you this morning. But if this morning you just feel you'd like us to pray with you, you'd like to be prayed for, you'd like just to make that point of commitment, say, yeah, I want to be born again. I want to enter the kingdom of God. I want the rule of God to begin in my life. I'm willing to have a change of mind that leads to a change of direction. I understand that the only way I can really enter the kingdom of God is through faith in Jesus Christ and what he's done. I tell you, we would be delighted to pray with you and help you this morning. And for those of us who are believers, it's really important that we understand the reality of the kingdom of God. That the kingdom of God is not some kind of pie-in-the-sky, airy-fairy thing. It's down to grassroots, day-by-day living and working out the decision and the commitment we made to Jesus all those months or years ago. When we said yes to Jesus, we were saying yes to his government in our lives. And we need to understand what that government is and allow the rule of Jesus Christ to work out in our lives. Let's just pray, shall we? Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, we pray that you will touch our hearts with an awareness of the importance of getting this issue straight in our lives. That we will understand that we need to be people who allow your government in our lives. That you have laid down order, you have laid down principles, not to destroy us, not to spoil our lives, but to release our lives into the fullness of your purposes for us. That if we're really going to know fulfillment and satisfaction and wholeness in our lives, we need to allow your government, your rule, your kingdom to take complete control of us. We need to give our lives to you totally and completely, lock, stock and barrel, so that, Lord, our lives might be effective for you. Oh God, let your rule, let your reign come in our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. God bless you. Please, if you want to ask any questions or